You are about to listen to a conversation I had with Rachel Lieberman. She is the creator behind Pure Generators. My name is Stephanie. I'm a 6'2 self-projected projector and the business guide of Rachel for the past 2.5 years. In this episode, we explore Rachel's entrepreneurial journey, what started as a blog turned into a full-time business for this 1-3 sacral generator. Rachel shares how she followed her sacral responses even when her mind was telling her other things, and how trusting the timing led her to writing a book this year. We talk about deconditioning, having a projector guide, branding and your centers, and the launch of her new book, A Modern Guide to Human Design. I'm excited to let you listen in on our conversation. Welcome, Rachel, on the podcast. I'm so excited to talk to you, although we talk quite often, but to actually ask you all the questions that I gathered from myself and from my generator friends around me. Before we kick things off, how did everything start for you? Who are you? What's Pure Generators? Tell us all the things.
Yeah, so I'm Rachel Lieberman. I run Pure Generators, and I now have a human design book coming out called A Modern Guide to Human Design. So that's kind of my new thing. But on Pure Generators, I write about human design. I have a blog. That's how it started. I do a lot of like deeper work with generator and manifesting generator types, courses and products, and things like that. I know Stephanie because we've been working together for how long has it been? Like
years.
2.5 years. Yeah. She helps me get my business organized and just figure everything out. So nice to have a projector energy there. So I'm very grateful for that. And yeah, thank you for having me.
Yeah. I've been wanting to ask you questions for a really long time that are not specifically related to what we do together on a professional basis. But still, because I have the feeling I know you so well, I was like, what am I going to ask Rachel that is interesting and not too deep immediately for everyone who is listening? And what I really love that you already said is like, my whole business started with a blog. Can you take us back to that moment when you had the initial response to start writing a blog?
Yeah, I had just left my career of like 7 years and I had burned out really bad. I did not know about human design. I did not know about being a generator, but I had heard my sacral speaking to me very loudly that I needed to get out of there. And I just felt I have to get out of here for my health, for my mental health, for a lot of reasons. It was just a very wrong use of my energy. So I figured, well, I can get another job. I'll take a couple of months off and just see what happens. And I definitely knew, despite not knowing that I was a generator, that I needed to do something that I really enjoyed because I had been not enjoying what I had been doing for so long, that I just needed to put my energy towards something that actually felt good. So I did find human design about 3 weeks after I quit my job. And yeah, it was like 3 or 4 people mentioned it to me in a very short span. And I was like, what? And each time I would pull up my chart and be like, I don't understand this at all, because the chart is like meaningless until you have some info. So finally, I sat down and kind of figured it out. I remember I went to the bookstore, got my first book, sat down in a cafe, was reading it, and I was like, oh, this explains all of it. And so I got really obsessed with it. Classic.
As you
1-3 profile. And even though I was new to the information, I looked back on my life and I was like, oh, I've been living this for a long time. I always had this, I'm a sacral authority, and I always had this thing inside of me. I didn't know what to call it. I called it like the thing. I was like, the thing will tell me when it's time to move forward with this, because I'll feel it. Like I'll feel that energy. I'll feel like it's an open space to like go. But I didn't know what it was. It was my sacral. Now I know. But so I looked back and I was like, huh, I've been living this for a long time. And so despite being new to the actual information, I think there's something like I could say about this. I could talk about my own experience. And I remember I was walking down the street one day and I just had this hit, like, oh, Pure Generators, that would be like my Instagram. And I was like, no, we're not going to push it. Like, we're not doing that anymore. So I just like wrote it down in my notes app. And then maybe a couple weeks later, I was like, oh, I think I just want to write about this. And I had had a blog. I've always been into like blogging and writing. Like I'd had a style blog in like 2010.
Yeah. I remember that. You talked about that.
Mm-hmm. And that, looking back, I was like, oh, that was actually a generator activity that like fit so well with my energy. That was one of the last times I'd been like really energized by something I had done. So I was like, why don't I just start a blog and just have fun with it and see what happens? So I started my blog and I started putting stuff out there on Instagram, and I had no clue what I was doing. I didn't know how to do any kind of online business. I didn't even necessarily think I was starting an online business, but people were resonating with what I was posting. The human design world was quite a bit smaller back then. This is 2019. And so I was like, all right, let's just keep going. It was like people kept commenting, oh, what about this? And I was like, okay, response, let's do it. So I'd write about that. And that was just kind of how it all built. And then I was like, I think I want to keep doing this. And in order to keep doing this, I need to make some money from it. So that was where I started to think about, okay, how could I build this into a business? And it did not happen overnight. It took me like 6 months to even maybe get a product out there or a course. But yeah. I've been doing it ever since. I guess it's been like 4 years almost.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Do you still remember your first product or course?
Yeah, it was really funny, classic generator style. It was honestly the same basic concepts that I have come back to many times in like different iterations. And honestly, like something that I just launched like last week that just finished up. One of the things is called the sacral being hierarchy of needs. And literally like those concepts were in that first course. So it was very similar to what I'm still building on and talking about and developing. And I love to update it. But yeah, it was just basically like, what are the things that generators, MGs need to know about their energy too, like in their work and in their creative life, and maybe some other things about their design. But yeah, it was, the basic ideas were there.
Yeah, because that's the like the foundation that people can build their whole human design, living with their human design on. And you, like you said, you have a 1-3 profile. So the foundation part is a very important thing for you as well. Can you pinpoint where you felt secure with human design to actually say like, hey, I feel like I'm living parts of my human design?
Yeah, I mean, in classic first line fashion, I did not want to talk about anything I felt that I had not lived. When I started my blog, I actually didn't even talk about manifesting generators because I'm not one. So it's called Pure Generators. I mean, I was just like, I'm a pure generator. Let's go Pure Generators. Very quickly, I realized I could talk about that type. Enough of the concepts are similar. I live with, my husband is manifesting generator. So I expanded out from there. But basically, I just felt like I am only going to speak on what I know, what I've experienced, and what I've lived. And so even though, like I said, the information was new and the concept of human design was new, that lived sacral experience was something that I had been living for a long time. So that I felt confident speaking on, and pretty much anything, like I'll never speak on something that I don't feel confident about, even if I know it. So usually I kind of have to live something out for a while before I'll actually speak on it. But yeah, I definitely had on and off been honoring that sacral authority for a few years, the thing as I called it. And also I think like most of us, when we're younger, we already are kind of honoring that thing, and then we can lose it. So yeah, I basically just spoke on what I had experienced, and I guess moving forward with the newer information, it took me a while, like looking back at those first few years, like especially the first 2 years of having a human design business and a blog, I still made a lot of mistakes with my design. I still had a hard time knowing when my sacral was saying no, or was tired, or it was time to stop, or it was time to push forward. So yeah, it took definitely a couple years to fine tune that. And I still make mistakes with it, but they're much fewer and far between.
Yeah. And that, like, that sacral response and really starting to feel the difference between the yes, the no, and the fear, it's actually something I talked about with a one-on-one client today who is a sacral generator and who's like beginning stages with really listening to this response. What would be your tips or advice or lessons be when it comes to the sacral response?
Yeah, I mean, it's a nuanced thing. Yeah. And I think that's partially why what I was talking about resonated with people, because in human design, sometimes we say the same phrases over and over. And there's actually nothing wrong with those phrases. They're all very true. But sometimes you just don't know exactly how that applies to you. It's like, wait for the response. Like, what does that even mean? What are the nuances of that? So I would say, like, it can be a little bit different for everybody. It takes some time to figure out exactly how it feels or sounds in your body. Another thing is just, this is a common challenge I see for pretty much everybody in their design, is we all tend to kind of want it now, or our minds want something now. That's just like being a human. And often our design is saying, like, no, you should rest. No, you should wait. Like, particularly for generators, there's like a timing that happens with a lot of things. And often, even though you know you're going to do something or something's going to happen, it's not quite the time. And I think all types kind of go through that. So, yeah, just allowing, trusting your own timing and your energy and when it's kind of giving you that green light to move forward. Those are kind of the two main ones, I'd say.
Is that also something that you've been working on in deconditioning, like really trusting your own timing, trusting that the sacral will give you a direction?
Oh, yes. And I think this becomes especially challenging around money, yep, work, surviving in capitalism. I'd say that's like the most common question I get from people, which is, how can I possibly allow myself to follow this when I need to be making money in this way? And a lot of my work has been around that, because I do think there are ways to honor your sacral. It's not that your sacral is, I guess, living in a different world than like your monetary needs. But I do think it requires a little bit of stability in the material world to really allow yourself to honor your sacral. And so maybe first you just secure that foundation for yourself where you know your basic needs are met, then it's so much easier. Because, not because your sacral is going to take you into places that are like against you thriving financially, it's just more that sometimes the steps to get there may not be obvious to your mind, and it can like make your mind panic. So just kind of marrying those two sides of honoring your inner guidance with also looking at your material world and saying, like, okay, are there some things that maybe I just need to do before I can really feel free to honor the sacral? And then that tends to work out pretty well for most people.
Yeah, is there something specifically that you do when your mind takes over and is like freaking out?
Yeah. I mean, at the very beginning, like the whole thing of starting this business was very distressing for my mind. Like, I was definitely someone who had a salary job for a really long time. I really relied on that stability. And to be honest, like, I enjoyed that. It was not like a bad fit for my energy. Generators in particular, I think, have a hard time getting out of those types of more traditional work situations sometimes, because they work fairly well for us. I think a lot of other types just can't, it just doesn't work for them. And so they're more likely to seek like self-employment. Like, a lot of like projectors, manifestors, and reflectors that I meet really gravitate toward that from a young age, because they just don't like that feeling of having to show up the same way every single day. So they figure it out earlier. The rest of us, we kind of can be in those environments and they kind of work out for us. So yeah, I was definitely having a lot of panic when I left that type of stable work situation. And at first I just did a lot of journaling, just letting the feelings be there. You can't really ignore them. I think getting your mental health in a good place, like very separate from human design, is very helpful. Like, yeah, human design does not fix all challenges that we have with our minds. So like getting the support of like healing, mental health, all of that really helps with you actually being able to live your design. Now I'm really into like subconscious reprogramming. I think that's super helpful. I like to call it mental deconditioning because in a way it's basically aligning your mind with your like inner authority, and where it wants to take you, so that your mind isn't just like fighting you at every turn. So like hypnosis or subliminal audios, things like that. But yeah, there's like a lot of different ways. And I would also say, like, don't push yourself. Like, you don't want to stress your nervous system. You don't want to, like, it's fun to say, like, oh, like, I only go after, like, hell yeses. It's like, okay, you know, there, that would be, like, a classic sacral being thing. And it's true. Like, at a certain point, you really can do that. But you kind of have to work up to that a little bit and just make sure that your mind is, like, accepting of the risk and the, I guess, the things that you just don't know. But after a while, it just becomes second nature. Like now I don't even really question it and not a lot of things scare me, but it can definitely make your mind like really panic at first.
Yeah. And I already love that you said at the beginning of the episode as well, like it took me years to actually get to this point of being so in touch with my sacral that I trust it and that I know what will happen and where it would go and the difference between the yes and the no. Because what I see a lot is with sacral beings is that they want it now as well, because the authority is in the now. They're like, well, if I figure it out once what my yes and my no is, I can do this all the time. But it's really like a process that you build, like a muscle that you build over time, kind of, that you strengthen with the decisions that you start to make. Is there a decision in your business that you feel like was not a sacral yes and that you learned from in the end? Because being a tree line.
Yeah. I've had many. And I would say that pretty much all of them came from trying to rush the timing on something. Maybe it was something that did appeal to me. It was an energizing like concept. But either it wasn't the right time, and so I was like pushing it. That's been the times when I've like burnt out and really just gone into like a bad place. Or it wasn't like quite the right, I like to call it format, but it's sort of, it's like you can get a yes about a concept, like, oh, I want to do this type of work, or I want to do this, I want to offer this thing, or I want to create this thing. But then if you don't like what, I guess, like organize how you are, the specifics of how you're creating it, or are you doing video or doing audio, or are you charging this much for it? Like if you don't like respond your way through all of those little specifics, then it can still end up as like a use of your energy that doesn't feel natural to you. So I've made a lot of mistakes with that. I still do sometimes, honestly, but the difference is that, and someone asked this recently in my community, they were like, I just feel like every time I realize something's a sacral no, it's gone so far. Like it's already, like I'm at burnout. And this person was like, eventually will I notice earlier? And I was like, yes, because I was the same. Like I would not notice until I was like all the way at burnout. And now like the second I feel that little, ooh, I'm like, okay, no, stop. Don't move any further. And it saves a lot of time and energy. So yeah, it's like the ability to feel it has become like so much more sensitive over time. And now when it's like, oh, that's clearly not the one little detail that that's not how I want to do that. It's like, okay, step back, figure out what actually I want to do. And then I don't end up like all the way down the road because generators have a hard time switching gears. We have a hard time stopping. We have a hard time starting. Like, it's not good for us when we end up like deep in something and we have to like stop. So it's much easier now.
Yeah, exactly. I've seen you been able to let go of like different offerings in your business much more quickly than what you did like 2 years ago. And you trust the timing so much more now, because sometimes we say like some kind of structure or strategy, like this is going to launch around this time or this is going to happen around that time. But then you can see that it's not fitting at that moment. Like you don't have all the puzzle pieces yet, or it doesn't feel like it's a complete hell yes on all the different little elements. And now I can see you that you allow that time to wait to get a real hell yes response. And that's really awesome to see from the outside, the difference between 2 years ago, Rachel, and now, Rachel, that you definitely are a lot more in tune with how this one piece isn't clicking, this one element. I'm just going to wait until that comes. And I trust that it will come, while before you would freak out a little about not having all the elements in place.
Yes. And try to like force something
that
ended
up
not working in the end. And it just wasn't worth it. Like, it's not even like it'll work. If you force yourself at a certain point, it just doesn't even work. So then it's like, what's the point? Yeah. And I think for generators in particular, because we don't have that direct connection to our throat center like a manifesting generator does, a manifestor does. And I would actually say this goes for projectors and reflectors as well. All of us who just don't have that direct throat connection, action is like a very secondary thing to just being for us. It's like we're experiencing, we're being, we're just waiting for that response. In the case of a generator, you know, an invitation. In the case of a projector, just waiting for like things to click in place. You know, if you're a reflector, like waiting till you have that clarity and then we take action. So like action is not, that's not kind of like our main thing. And I would also say like our action can be very, very like efficient. Like we, once it's that right moment, that right place, everything's lined up, like we can take that action and it's just like, whew, it's done. So we just don't need to be like taking action all over the place. Like it's better to just be.
Yeah, exactly. How does your day look like then if it's like geared around being and action is secondary?
Yeah, I recently went through a bit of a reset. I had a very dreamy summer where I did not have a ton of plans and I was just kind of being. And this whole year, I've just been doing things a little bit differently and kind of been focused more on working deeper with a community of people as opposed to being on social media. But I can definitely feel like it's time to return to that, get back on social media. There's a lot of different reasons. So I had to... It was hard as generator to switch gears. Like, I was like, I'm in dream, summer dreamland. And this week, I'm like, no, it's time to get back to, well, it's Virgo season, time to get serious again. So I definitely go through periods like this summer where I don't have a lot of plans. I kind of just respond to things as they come and things are more open. But right now, when I need to get a few more things done, I know I benefit from some structure, because I would say as a sacral being, basically generator or manifesting generator, having things to respond to is very helpful for us. So even if you're not going to do the thing that's on your schedule or whatever, being able to wake up and see like, oh yeah, I was going to do that today. That's actually a no. And then you kind of begin to respond your way into a different place. So right now, for me, getting my mindset in the right place first thing in the morning, very important, because I'm doing a lot of new things. You know, that doubt and fear can easily creep in, but I don't want that running the show. So I will start the day with like some journaling, some meditation, some subliminal audios. And that seems to be very helpful, because then that sets me up for the rest of the day, being able to just respond and be free to do that. I do plan certain things ahead, but I also leave a lot of space for what I feel like doing in that moment. And for me, that's the sweet spot as a generator. It'll probably be a little different for different people, but that balance of structure and freedom, it's very good for me.
Yeah. You really found what is a sweet spot for you through trial and error and having like different kind of routines and setups and planning far ahead, not planning at all. And then now finding that in between moment where you're like, I know I need to have some structure in my calendar and in my days, but not too much that it restricts you in actually being able to respond. If we're looking at structure for you, it's something that I was browsing your online space as I do every month before we see each other, of like, what are people responding to? What are you sharing? How are you showing up? And one thing that I often see with you is that people comment on how you deliver information in like a clear and organized and inspiring way. You have a very particular style in how you also brand yourself. Are there things in your design that point to how you clearly structure information and how you designed your brand?
Yeah, I think the ability to share things in that clear way that comes from being a defined head in Ajna. Also, my only channel there is the channel of abstraction. So it's basically like you're receiving kind of this abstract download of inspiration or information or whatever it is. And then my mind is able to like bring that to like land that like piece, like kind of sort through it. How do we understand that? What's a really grounded and practical way to communicate it? And that's kind of how it happens. Like I'll just feel like, oh, I get this like almost like download of all of this info. And it's truly just like a feeling, like it's very abstract. Like it's not logical, it's not like future based, it's not, yeah. And it's just like a feeling. And then I'm like, okay, just need to let it like move down through the centers. And yeah, then I start to be able to understand little pieces of it. So I would say that's kind of where the way I communicate the info comes from. As far as the branding, I have pretty much stuck with like the same branding and colors from like day one. There have been a few things I've changed. I've like added a couple colors here and there, but it is very consistent. I think that has to do with having a defined identity center. It's like just having that base is very like soothing for me, and it just makes sense. I just truly have never felt like I wanted to change it, because once I tapped into something that felt very like me, then I just stuck with that. Whereas people who have undefined identity centers, for them, reinventing and allowing themselves to be different in different seasons or experiences is very important. And so for them, it would be totally natural to switch things up. But for me, I just think I've found like what's that core truth of how I like to visually express myself. And so I just stick with it. It's like, I'm open to it changing. It just never does.
Yeah. And would you say that your personality in like in your personal life matches your branding and how you express yourself online?
I would say so. I mean, it's kind of funny. And I have seen some truth in this. I'm really interested in like physical and body typing systems as well. Like Kibbe, body typing system and like color analysis. And I often find that people's like personal colors that go well with their features are the same ones they use in branding, which I think is so interesting, or like a similar palette. And so I started my like very bright branding before I knew like what my seasonal color analysis was. I'm just always drawn to bright colors. Like I have an oracle deck that I made, like,
that's true. So it's a long time
7 years ago. Yeah. And it's really the exact same, like primary colors, bright colors, bold shapes. Like it's really the exact same aesthetic. And I think that was the first time I ever let myself just like go with that aesthetic. But I've just always been attracted to it. So it made sense that it was like kind of the same. My seasonal color analysis is like all bright colors too. So yeah. I don't know. It just appeals to me.
Yeah, and it makes a lot of sense too. Now that you say the Oracle deck, but also your book is very bright. We were talking about this a little bit before we hit record, that it's also a match with everything. How was it for you to actually design the book? Because also the inside is very much Rachel in structure and in colors and in all the ways, all the elements that you use. How was the process for you?
Yeah, I mean, I'm really lucky that the publisher I worked with also shared my vision for the bright colors. They humored me on that. And I did have an illustrator who took care of like the design of the inside of the book, but she did replicate a lot of graphics that I had given them and then just kind of went off of that. So I was just really lucky that they also wanted to do that. But yeah, it's just really important to me that there is continuity through like everything I have. Like I want it all to look nice together. Like I also, I don't know, I just feel like those colors, they're more than just like colors to me. They like communicate something. I don't know exactly what that is, but just on this intuitive level, there's just certain colors that I use for different things. And I also think that for the people who look at my stuff, even if it's something really subtle that they may not even really realize I do, like every time, I guess I don't do this so much at the moment, although I probably will moving forward because I do switch things up like on Instagram. But for a couple of years, every time I shared like a more cosmic download or insight, I would use like a different background.
Yep.
If it was more of like a generator thing, I'd use this background. So it was almost like a subconscious thing. But I think people can just take in what you're saying easier. And I also think that could be a little bit of like an undefined throat thing. Like I don't just communicate through words. I feel like I also communicate through visuals. It's like the words aren't always the most important part. The words aren't always there. I don't always have access to them. So yeah, communicating visually in that way, I just feel like it gets some energy across. And the energy I always want to get across in my work is like that it's playful, it's loving, it's fun. And I hope those colors do that for people.
Yeah, it definitely does. And it also matches your incarnation cross, right? The Vessel of Love.
Vessel of Love. Yeah. Yeah. Just, yeah, I hope that's the feeling people get from it. And like, there's a big like inner child or child aspect to human design too. Like when you're deconditioning, you're probably your most pure form that you have been as a human being was as a child. And like they often say that human design is really for the children moving forward. Those of us who are learning it now will be passing it on to either our children or other people who have children. So yeah, it's like the inner child is a big part of human design as well, I feel.
Yeah. Do you honor your inner child in your business? Are there things that you do for her?
Yeah. I mean, it's funny, like, I think there's certain changes I've made ever since I've just been doing human design where I'm like at home alone in my own space. I don't have to go be in some masculine office or fit into like some environment that's not fully me. But now it's like hard to remember what that was like, I guess. Like, I think I used to call it when I would stay home from work, like work from home sometimes at my previous job. I would call it like angel world. I would be like, I'm staying home in angel world today. Like it was like my safe little world where like the work was only on the computer. And I'm like, now I'm in angel world all of the time. So yeah, like I think just allowing myself, like as a kid, I was very creative. Like it's funny. I was actually thinking about this yesterday. What were the things I was interested in as a kid? Drawing, writing. Basically those two things. That was honestly what I was really excited about. Oh, and like learning things. And that's literally what my business is now. It's like learning and teaching and designing and writing. That's literally what I do. So I think this whole business has been a journey of just letting my inner child take the wheel and the sacral really everyone's inner authority, I think, is also very connected to their inner child, but particularly the sacral, because it's like fun and creativity and just like connecting to kind of like your more like animal, juicy nature. And so, yeah, I feel like every day I'm just like deconditioning a bit more to that inner child.
Yeah. Toggling on your colorful keyboards. It's like always in my mind. I'm still jealous.
Yeah, you got to get one of those.
Yeah, exactly. I definitely have to get one of those.
Yeah, get one of these like RGB mechanical keyboards. Highly recommended.
Yeah. And they look so nice in your aesthetic too when you're like making reels and things. Your book is geared towards all types, not only generators and manifesting generators. How do you see that developing your brand with having a broader audience and reaching more people?
Yeah, I think that my deeper work will always be with generators and manifesting generators, just simply because that's who I can relate to. And as a first line profile, I will never feel comfortable really like guiding or teaching someone on something that I will never experience, because I will never be their type. But I definitely want people to see my blog and my site as a place that every type can go to get information about themselves, either through the book. I also offer a beginner chart report that is already rolled out for all types. I think I released that last year, and that's been really popular, just so that everybody who lands on my page from Google can learn something about themselves, no matter their type. But also, I find a lot of generators and MGs will buy that for the other types in their family. So I also want all the generators and MGs to be able to learn about the people close to them who aren't generators and MGs. So yeah, I'm going to be expanding into like a more in-depth chart report that will also be for all types. So I'll definitely always have this information that's available for everybody. And I'm really excited about that. But then the deeper works or the programs that I do, courses, a lot of that will stay for generators and MGs.
Yeah. Yeah. And actually, you have a lot of content both on your blog and on your Instagram and on your podcast, actually, about like channels and gates and centers and incarnation process. And the way that you communicate things is very insightful. I feel like you use words that like a lot of people can understand and like easily see, like, that's how it is and that's how it's being used. And that's something that I really love. Like, sometimes I'll go on your blog and be like, how does Rachel see this specific gate or this specific channel or this connection? And that's something that I really appreciate about your content. Like, even though it is geared towards generators and manifesting generators, don't let it be scaring you off if you are a projector or a manifester or a reflector. There is still a lot of like nuggets of wisdom there for you to also enjoy. And what I want to pick up a little bit as well is you said like, I will not go deeper on things because I'm not that type. How is it then for you to be in a professional relationship with me being a projector? How do you see projectors and generators in a relationship or in a communication thing?
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of what was fun about being able to write the book, because even though I don't work deeply with other types, I still had been observing them and learning about them. Like, I knew a lot and I had a lot to say from that very same perspective of something that's very like grounded in reality and in nuance. So it was super fun to be able to actually write about that in the book. But yeah, like, I recorded a podcast. I think I have a blog post about like generators and projectors. I think it's like one of the most beautiful relationships that there can be between types. I find that everyone who helps me in my business is pretty much a projector. I just really need that guidance and that I'm very, especially as like a 1-3 generator, I'm very like in my process. I'm just like in my little creative world. And sometimes I can't see what's going on outside of me. Like, I have no idea kind of like, what do other people want? What are they doing? What's the bigger picture of this? And so having a projector who can see all of that and can also like, I often can't tell that I'm frustrated, like, right away. I'm getting better at it, but like Stephanie can usually see it, like hear it before exactly. I can work, because I'll be like, oh yeah, I guess I should do that. She's like, no,
we're not doing that.
It's very obvious. So you're like, oh yeah, it is. I'm like, she's like, no, we're not. So projectors are amazing. Like, they're just able to see through everything. And I think generators and MGs, we can just really get just so deep into things that maybe just aren't right for us, aren't feeling good, aren't right for everybody else. Like, I think that if every somewhat permanent thing we've ever built as like a human species, like every building, every country, every whatever, if that had like a projector's eyes on it to help with that, it just would have turned out so much better. Because unfortunately, we have like a world that's filled with a lot of things that maybe like don't serve everybody. So yeah, I really benefit from that projector eagle eye point of view that can just see things that I just can't see.
Yeah. And I love that you talk about how if everyone's in their own role and in their own zone of genius, or however you want to call it, it will actually make the world a nicer place. It's not like it's not nice now, but we can all see that there are some things that can change and that should change. How do you see the role of your book in facilitating this change? I know, big question.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think everyone who is contributing to sharing human design is contributing to making the world a better place, in the sense that when we understand our design, we create things or do things that are just more harmonious for everyone. When we understand other people's designs, we just like leave everyone space to be themselves. This is a Vessel of Love incarnation, yeah, cross talking, exactly. But that kind of is the theme of that cross in a way. I think that when we, the Vessel of Love and love to me is not necessarily about like, oh, everyone is perfect. It's like about truth. It's about seeing everyone very clearly. And so I think that when we can see ourselves clearly, when we can see others clearly, when we can respect those differences and learn to invite those different energies in our lives, then that's when people will either intentionally or just happenstance end up with like all the different energies and types involved in the things that they're creating. And those things will just be so much more harmonious for everybody. Because like, imagine if you're starting a company and like, maybe you're a generator, you're the one who can grind all the time, and but maybe like your business partner is a projector, and so they're the ones who can like see a different thing. Maybe you know to like bring in a reflector who's like, oh, you know, this just feels a little off, and you're like, okay, let's change course. Like, you know, you have like, yeah. So there's just all these different combinations that you can employ, and it would be so nice to intentionally or just at least allow for that to happen, because I think it naturally does happen.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think intentionally, if you just have the basic understanding about human design or like who people are, you can leave that space for someone to develop into that person without having expectations or certain requests that you have that don't fit them just because it's always been done like that. What if we could design a world where everyone could be themselves? How beautiful would that be?
Yeah, and this was something that I used to see in my previous career all the time. This actually was what ultimately led to my burnout, which was that my boss was a projector. I am a generator, and she and I, we would have done so well had we just stuck to like our roles. If we had teamed up and she had said, I'm really good at like managing all the clients and doing all the talking and all that, why don't I just do that? And you're really good at like managing all the teams and the processes, why don't you do that? We would have like taken over the world. But she was feeling really pressured to go in some other direction and offhand sort of all her projector duties and gifts onto me, which I don't have those same gifts and abilities. So then I was just feeling like so stressed out. And it's like, if we had just understood each other's strengths and felt like we could just surrender to that, it would have gone so much better. Instead, there's just a lot of things out there that we're telling her, you know, that's not enough, you need to go here, telling me like, you're not enough, like you need to be able to do this, when really it just exhausted both of us and it was just a disaster. So
yeah, and in order to prevent that, or at least have a tool or a system that can help you, I feel like human design can really give you that insight as to what are my gifts, where am I in the right role, what works for me, what might work for someone else. That is like an easy tool for everyone. I wish like everyone would speak the human design language, basically, because it's like learning a language. Once you understand the ins and outs, you can piece things together. What would you say is one advice that you wish you knew before you knew everything about human design, and what you want to give to people that are like, come and enjoy human design?
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody, when they first find human design, they just want to know as much information as possible. And as a first line, I would get super annoyed when people told me this, but they're like, you don't need to know all of that right now. And I'd be like, what? But like, I just want to know everything. But really, like, putting the basics into practice and really like fine tuning that, like really understanding your strategy. Strategy is hard. I think all the strategies are quite hard to master in your daily life. That and your authority, the other stuff, you know, you can learn about it. It's fine. Like, profile, I think, is really helpful. There's a lot of different things you can learn about, but really just like practicing those, that will change your entire life. And you can still dabble in all the info if you're a first line profile and you just want to know things. But I do find a lot of people who know a lot of things and yet really aren't living their design, because they think like, oh, the information about your strategy and authority is quite small. There's not a lot of meat there, because that's the point. You have to put it into practice. So I think that's definitely a mistake that I made when I started human design. I was like, I want all this information. But once I kind of slowed myself down, honestly, like, I didn't even really go deep into all the gates and channels until I wrote my book last year. Like, I kind of just learned things as needed. But yeah, you don't have to know all of that to begin to employ human design in your life, to share about human design. I think that what we need now are people in their types sharing their lived experience as their type, or at least showing that to the world, depending on just kind of your profile, what your role is. You'll do that in different ways. But yeah, we just need to be able to see people living as their type. And that's really inspirational and helpful to other people. Information's great. There's nothing wrong with it. But yeah, it's helpful to actually put it into practice.
Yeah, we can learn so much by just looking at other people and knowing they are living their design in this and this and this way, because you don't have to do everything right from the first get-go. If we have to end this here and people want to connect with you, buy the book, sign up for your newsletter, all the things, what's the best way to reach you?
Yes, everything is at puregenerators.com. You can find pretty much everything there, and my handle everywhere, Instagram, Twitter, is at Pure Generators. So I'm quite easy to find. And I don't know exactly when this will air, but the book is available for pre-order until October 3rd when it comes out. So yeah, going out in the world.
Exactly. You have to get your hands on it. I heard it's very big. So, and it's colorful. So I mean, everyone needs to have this on their table.
It is very big and colorful. So yeah, there's also ebook version. So yeah.
Oh, but physical.
If you're a lighter traveler.
Exactly.
I also.
I would still travel with it physically everywhere, even though I only have 20 kilograms of luggage.
Me too. I think there's something nice about a physical book that also smells amazing. So I can give it that endorsement as well.
It smells amazing. That's all that we needed. Well, thank you so much for sharing your generator wisdom, your one line, deep guidance, everything that you've seen and tried. And I look forward to actually holding your book and seeing it in real life, because it's been an art project. It's been really cool to see this being created by you. And just, you just, in my eyes, you just made this. Like, it just was there. And I was like, okay, it was so fast.
It's kind of true. It's kind of how it came about. It's crazy when it's the right thing, when it comes about in the right way, when you have that response, you have that, you know, as a generator, I had the energy to carry it all out. It happened quite quickly. So it's a good thing to remember that even if it feels like things are slow sometimes things happen really quickly when they're right. So anyway, thank you so much, Stephanie. I wouldn't expect any less from a projector. You're a wonderful interviewer. Very insightful questions.